Make up your mind.
All right, welcome to this special edition of Cheap Heat and Cheap Pops. It is special because AEW put on one hell of a show tonight. We're doing our AEW review this week. It is to honor the great Brody Lee, who tragically passed away this last couple of days. It's been, for the wrestling world, a tough week for fans and people, and it's been nice to see everybody unite. And tonight, AEW put on one hell of a show. We're going to talk about the show tonight in depth and break it down. Probably won't be our longest review show ever, because we're not gonna nitpick over little odds and ends and details and match stuff tonight. We're just gonna talk about how great the show was in general and just about how fun it was, because that's what the show was designed for tonight. And joining me always on our AEW reviews, my partner in crime, the one and only Mr. Richie, the real deal heel Reardon. What's going on, Mr. Reardon? How are you doing tonight, buddy?
Not much, man. I'm doing good. After a long, hard work at or hard day at work, fucking come home, watch some good AEW, and you know, it was a good tribute show. I thought they did a great job and knocked it out of the park. So happy to be here and talk about it, man.
Oh yeah, how was your Christmas? But we took off last week for the holidays. You know, everybody wanted to catch a little break last week and spend time with family. I know for me, my son came home for the last couple of weeks, and that was the most important thing, is spending time with them. I know you had family and different commitments too. So we took off last week, but we're back at it. Did you have a good Christmas and everything, buddy?
Yeah, it was good, man. Hung out with the family. My dad busted out the old guitar. And, it was a good time. We all gathered around, had some adult beverages, and opened some gifts, and just had fun, man, and that's what it's all about.
That's the most important thing, and we hope everybody had a great Christmas out there. We hope everybody got to spend some time with their families and friends and loved ones, and if you didn't, we hope you had a good day irregardless. And if you didn't have the best Christmas, 2021 is right around the corner.
Yes,
in one day, it's a new year. I know 2020 has been rough for everybody, and... we're gonna get a restart. Let's get 20.
I'm gonna tell you right now. Tomorrow night, when it strikes 2021, everybody better be screaming Jumanji, so we can get out of this goddamn game we've been stuck in.
Oh God, has it just been the worst fucking year right this year?
It's been the worst fucking year. People dying every fucking 5 seconds of COVID, and you got fucking celebrities dying right and left, getting taken away from us, and you know, especially in the wrestling world, man, it's been impacted huge. You know, the Undertaker retires, and we didn't get to see the Sting versus the Undertaker match everybody pretty much wanted to fucking see. It's just, you know, especially in the wrestling world, it sucks right now. There's no crowds. You can't go watch the shit. If you do go watch it, you got to spend a fortune to do so, you know. Yep. So it's just rough, man. And I hope to God, you know, me and you last year, we were like, we got to go to WrestleMania next year. We probably won't get to fucking do that, you know. No. And it just sucks. There's nothing to look forward to.
Well, we're gonna plan a trip this year. We're gonna get together regardless this year and have some fun and kick back. So we'll find a way. We'll get to our WrestleMania here in the next year or so, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely. I look forward to it. It's a dream of mine. I know it's a dream of yours.
Yep.
You know, as big a wrestling fans as we are, going to that is like going to the fucking Super Bowl. So
it's, I think, for wrestling fans, because the way that wrestling fans and people have been watching it forever, whether you're sour on some things of the business or not.
Even though I fucking hate WWE, I still got to experience it, dude.
100%. No doubt about it. It's a must. It's a bucket list for a wrestling fan, something to do. And I got faith for everybody out there. I'm going to look optimistically that we're going to turn it around in 2021 and into 2022. The vaccinations are coming out there, whether people are a believer in the vaccination or not, or however they look at it, things are going to get better. 2021 is around the corner. And, it was a tough way to end the year for AEW. They kind of had to alter their plans this week, which I think they made the great move to alter their plans and to not stick with what they had already pre-taped. I know they pre-taped the New Year's Eve Smash, and then they just pushed it back a week because, unfortunately, you know, Brody Lee, John Huber is his real name, Luke Harper, however you want to look at him from whatever aspect of his career. I mean, he was in WWE for a very long time, and that's where a lot of people remember him, but it's not about remembering somebody as a wrestler. It's about remembering him as a person. He had a wife. He had two kids. He had a family. And he made one hell of an impact on people's lives, as you could see tonight, and was a person that people looked up to in so many ways. And I know a lot of times when people pass away, people will talk about people and kind of put them in a certain way. Maybe not everybody sees them that way. I didn't see anybody have a bad thing to say about the guy. And that's a really remarkable thing, like, to see just the respect that people had for him, Richie.
Yeah, you know what's crazy to me is this was very reminiscent of, like, when Eddie Guerrero died or Owen Hart or, you know, all these different guys. You saw the respect that this guy carried throughout the locker room and how much they, you know, cared for him and his family and everything. I mean, literally, they took a whole night, dedicated it to him, and, you know, put his family on a pedestal and just really did a classy job, in my opinion, of honoring the memory of Brody Lee. And, you know, say what you want about Tony Khan, man, but I think he did a hell of a job respecting a guy that really worked for him for the better part of less than a year, you know?
Yeah.
So that just shows you the kind of class that guy has.
Yeah, we've been saying it on the show for a long time. You know, Tony Khan, people give him a really bad rap because, you know, people will call him and, you know, we've said it here probably before too, you know, he's kind of like Dixie Carter, people think, but I think he's proven in a different way that he's not, because he's really taking command of that company and has just done a fantastic job. And a lot of the image that a lot of people had of him in AEW first started, for me at least, I'll speak, you know, on that, is I think about Tony Khan in a different way since you've seen what he's been doing over there and how he tries to really respect the business and the passion that he does have for it and the work ethic that the guy has. People can say whatever about his dad. You know, he's, you know, that's where people will, you know, put out the Dixie Carter line because of her family being rich. This guy is a hard worker.
Like if we weren't fucking rich, we wouldn't do the same thing.
Serious. Like,
that's what cracks me up. These fuckers are sitting in their basement and they're watching him live their dream and they're sitting there mad about it. That's what it boils down to.
You know, the guy's my age, you know, right around my age, and he's a hell of a successful guy, and you can't get mad at the guy because he has a father who had money and who had influence and different things. I really think he's carved out his own niche in many ways. And I think he's going to surpass his dad in the long run with the things that he's going to do in sports and in the business. And you got to respect the work ethic that he has between AEW, the soccer club, the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, just all that he's doing. And this show tonight was, he did a fantastic job to really just pay respect to Brody Lee and to his family and to what he did. And we're going to talk a lot about it tonight, especially with some of the stuff that he did for his son. And I have the utmost respect for him after tonight and just the show they put on tonight. They hit just enough wrestling in it where you still had some kind of the wrestling angles in there and some of the people were playing their characters and everything, but they just did a great job tonight. It was a really fun show. So let's get on into it, Richie. They kicked off the show tonight and they did the 10 bell salute to him. They had his family out with the whole roster. They paid respect to him. They played a video and then John Moxley came out and talked about, you know, his respect for Brody Lee. You know, they've traveled the roads for many years together. They had some great feuds in WWE too. I mean, they did some fun stuff over there.
Right.
What did you think about, before we get into it tonight, what did you think about Brody Lee's run in WWE? Do you think he could have been a main event player over there? Do you think they missed the boat on him in his career?
Oh, absolutely. 100%, man. I mean, they missed the boat on a lot of people over there, but one of the guys that they did miss the boat with is Brody Lee. And I feel like they had opportunities as a singles competitor to build him up or a tag team wrestler because, you know, the Bludgeon Brothers, I was pumped up for that. And you saw how short lived that was. And everybody still talks about the Bludgeon Brothers and how cool they look.
Right?
They look so cool when they came out with their fucking robes and their Thor fucking hammers and shit. Like, it was incredible. They could have went far with that. You know, and as a singles competitor, the guy was, they didn't even tap into his character because they were so focused on Bray Wyatt. And you would get a glimpse of it and you would start to see what he was capable of. And then they'd shut it right down. You wouldn't see him for 2 weeks, you know? Yeah. So it was a waste of so much talent that we could have got from this guy. And you know, seeing his character in AEW when he came over as that Vince McMahon-like character, you really got to see the brilliance in his style and how he told a story. And I fucking loved it, man. He was one of the guys that I was looking forward to seeing the most in AEW just because you saw the chains on him so tightly in WWE. And I think that really hindered his character.
Yep. And he's a great speaker. He has a great presence to the way that he carries himself on the mic. And he never really got
a lot like Bruiser Brody.
Very much so. Very great pickup there. My wife was watching it with me tonight, the show. And when she was watching a lot of the tributes to him, especially the one at the end, she said, wow, he's a big and imposing guy. Like he's a believable character. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what people saw. And I think they did a phenomenal job with him in the short run in AEW as the Exalted One character. And I really think he was going to be a guy that was going to hold that belt in the next year. You know, if unfortunately, you know, he didn't pass away. I really think that he was a guy that was going to be carrying that belt probably in the next year. I think that was definitely something they had intended to do. And it's you just saw the talent that he had and that was just built up in him for so long that never got out.
Well, and the one thing that you kept hearing all night long was how much of a leader he was. Yeah. So I really feel like he took that locker room leader role. And that's, you know, it's really cool to hear the young talent pay that respect and let the world know who was the leader behind the scenes. And it's just a shame that that's not going to be there for them anymore. It's going to be a huge loss to AEW each week. And, you know, the other thing that I wanted to point out, too, is that WWE handicapped this guy pretty much to being like a Kevin Nash kind of, you know, brawler, gigantic wrestler, you know, just real stiff in the ring, not doing any crazy moves or anything like that. And then you see him over in AEW and he has crazy ass matches with Cody Rhodes. He's keeping up with him speed wise, just imposing force. And I really enjoyed the handcuffs being taken off of him and seeing his creativity. I just think that hammers it home for AEW and they really did this guy justice to at least give him some time before he passed off this earth to really express himself as an artist in the ring.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 100% agree with you on that. It was really nice to see. And I mean, so many more things he could have done and would have done, I think. But, you know, unfortunately, he didn't get the opportunity to do that. Tonight was fun to see all the people that he's influenced, especially the whole Dark Order out there and how they incorporated them all into different matches. And I loved how in the main event, they allowed his son, Brody Lee Jr., who they call Minus One, as kind of a joke for the Dark Order stuff. And they let him pick the match that he wanted to have. And he picked Orange Cassidy, Cody Rhodes. And his favorite wrestler is in the Dark Order is 10. His real name is Preston Vance. And I've seen him on Dark. I've seen him in some of the matches out with them, but you could see the closeness that he had with Brody Lee's wife at the end and with his son. And I thought that was really cool how they let his son pick the match. And his son was present the whole night and was a big part of the show. And I thought it was really fun how they incorporated him in. The first match was
great. I don't know if you heard, but over the weekend too, they actually sent Jim Ross over to take him to a football game.
Yeah, did the Jacksonville Jaguars game, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, yep, I saw that, and they gave him the whole booth and everything and the whole VIP suite, and God, you can see the kid loves wrestling, and losing your father at that age, I can't even imagine.
Oh, God.
And yeah, I'm not going to say that it softened the blow, but I definitely think it probably made the kid's worst day of his life, you know, that young man's worst day of his life, just a little bit better. And that whole AEW team and family and everybody that's over there really rallied together to make it special for his family. And I don't think that's ever going to stop. And we'll talk about some of that later on too, especially with his son and what Tony Khan did for him. But I don't think that's ever going to stop. I think they're always going to take care of this family and Brody Lee's memory, I think, is going to live on forever. The first match was great to kick it off tonight. You had Matt Hardy and Private Party out there, and they were taking on the Young Bucks and Colt Cabana. So you're going to see a lot of odd pairings tonight for everybody that maybe didn't get a chance to watch the show. There's some odd pairings out there. So every match had a Dark Order member in it. So the whole Dark Order competed tonight, which was fun, you know, and interesting to see that. So I loved the first match. I thought it was really good. They were still playing up a little the wrestling angle with Matt Hardy kind of turning to the dark side, maybe turning heel a little bit here. But I thought it was a really fun match with the Bucks. They looked great. Colt Cabana looked phenomenal in there. You could see how much he was influenced by Brody Lee too and what good friends they were and what that meant for him. Loved the first match. It opened off real strong to me. And Colt picked up the victory here. Private Party wouldn't use the steel chair to hit one of the Bucks, and it ended up turning it around. So the Bucks hit their finisher, and then Colt hit his finisher to get the victory here. And Colt picked up the victory over one of the Private Party members here. I love the first match. I thought it was a lot of fun. What did you think about it tonight, Richie?
I thought the same thing, man. I thought that they nailed it out of the park. It was a good match. AEW always has a way of, like, the cruiserweight division, but using the tag team division to open up the show in a fast paced way. And it always draws your attention in, but you know, and just the added in paying respect to Brody Lee and seeing, you know, Colt Cabana and how he acted towards it. It was really cool, man. I enjoyed it.
Yep, no doubt about it. And it was cool to see him pick up the victory at the end with his finisher. They had the Acclaimed come out afterwards. And I know you're not a big fan of them right here. I thought this was kind of silly with them coming out. And then they're trying to trash talk the Dark Order immediately a little bit here and pull the wrestling angle in and get these kids a little bit of steam. And then SCU came out and didn't let them get on the mic or anything like that. So I don't know. It was what it was for that. I don't think the Acclaimed really had anything to want to, there was no reason for me to want to see them in this spot whatsoever. That was just me. If I'm going to be a little nitpicky on that, that's it for me. I don't know. What do you think?
I, you know, time and time again, I'll say it, dude. I think these guys are a waste of time and I don't like to see them on the program. So I don't want to stay too negative though. So let's just move on from that segment.
Yep. Absolutely, man. We're going to try to stay positive and not be nitpicky for sure tonight here. They had a great video from Darby Allin. Darby was kind of sharing his thoughts on Brody Lee, and he had mentioned that he was the one person that he really wanted to wrestle the most in AEW, and that he never got an opportunity to have that match. And it was a really great promo from Darby Allin. And Darby played a really pivotal role later on in the night, and pretty cool spot with Darby Allin later on that we'll talk about there. Yeah. But I like Darby's promo. Did you?
The tribute to Brody Lee?
Yep.
Yeah, loved it, man. You know, you could feel that the guy had a relationship through the indies with him and been up and down the road with him and never got that opportunity to wrestle. And, you know, that sucks, man. It's like being a really good artist and not being a collaborate with somebody that you really want to collaborate with. You don't get the time to do it. So it's just a shame. And I think it would have been a hell of a storyline to tell. But again, another young talent that you can see was influenced by this guy.
Yep, no doubt about it. This next match shows a lot of people that he had an influence on, people that he was close personal friends with, people that he helped along the way. And you had Eddie Kingston, the Butcher, and the Blade, and they were taking on Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, and Lance Archer. And Lance Archer came out dressed up like Brody Lee.
My favorite part of the whole fucking night.
I loved it, bro. It was great, wasn't it? Kick it off. Tell me what your thoughts on this match were.
First of all, I love Lance Archer. I mean, he's a tank. You know, just looks good in the ring and moves around like a fucking cruiserweight. And that's just amazing at that size. So, it was a cool tribute for Lance Archer to come out dressed like that. He dressed as the classic Luke Harper character. And, it just looked phenomenal. The match was cool. Very fast paced, loved it. 6-man tag. And, you know, they got the win over him and the Dark Order went over again in this. And I think that was the right call. I mean, as far as being a tribute night, you got to put the Dark Order over. I mean, that's just how it is. Evil Uno has grown on me too.
I told you a couple weeks ago, right?
The guy, he's lost a shit ton of weight.
Yep.
He moves a lot better in the ring. He doesn't look like a fat slob anymore, you know? So he's really grown on me. I like his character. It's awesome. The whole Dark Order thing has just taken off for me. I love it.
Yeah.
That's not just because Brody Lee passed, man. I'm legitimately into it.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for a couple weeks on the reviews here. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I said it a few weeks ago, Evil Uno has grown on me a ton. And Stu Grayson is a really good talent in the ring, too. He looked really good out there.
I want to see more character from him.
I think we will. I think
he's character right now.
Yeah, I think they're gonna let them go a lot more now. And I think you're gonna see a lot more from the tag team of Stu Grayson and Evil Uno in the near future. And I definitely think that they're going to have a really good run in 2021 as a tag team together. And I don't think it's just because of the Dark Order stuff and Brody Lee's passing. I think they're just ready for it at this point. I think they're really fitting into their role well. And
but stop pushing guys like Acclaim and put these guys at the forefront. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. He's worked really hard for Luna. As you said, you can see he's gotten a lot better shape. Stu Grayson's a great talent in the ring. Let him show some personality. These guys looked great. Lance Archer is a main eventer all day long, no matter where he's at. 100%.
My opinion, he should be steamrolling every motherfucker in everybody.
Yep, 100% agree. The guy's awesome. You know what the best part of this was? Eddie Kingston talking a little shit, doing his gimmick in the beginning. And then at the end of the match, Jake the Snake Roberts.
You better believe it, dude. I thought he was going to do the DDT. I was like, there is no way that man's doing DDT.
Well, when he hit that short arm clothesline that Jake does, how could you not pop at that?
It was great. I don't care if it was the sloppiest fucking clothesline I've ever seen. It was great.
It was awesome.
And
man,
he even got you. I haven't seen that in Jake Roberts in so long. You should have looked at him, dude. He was fired the fuck up. Like,
yeah. You could see when he came out, he was fired up and he was ready for that spot. Like, he was ready to do it. He was ready to pay respect. He's been through enough bad times and
he just got diagnosed with COPD. That's
really, man, it's terrible to hear. That's terrible to hear. It was awesome just to see him do his gimmick there though, because by God, you got to love Jake the Snake Roberts anyway, as a wrestling fan. He's one of the all time greats. And it was just phenomenal. It was the perfect icing on the cake. Eddie did a short little jab in the beginning there, playing the wrestling side of it with throwing a little stuff out there. He gave a great, tribute to Brody Lee later on in one of his promos that they had pre-taped. So that was cool to see. But he played his little wrestling role, but they paid it off perfectly at the end with Jake hitting that, you know, the signature Jake clothesline there and getting everybody fired up to it. It was a lot of fun. They had a really nice video package with Arn Anderson, Dax Harwood, Colt Cabana, and just talking about how much Brody loved his family. It was a great tribute video. Yes. I really liked that, just to see him. And Arn's such a classy guy too. You got to love Double A, right?
That motherfucker, when he talks, man, he's like an old Western kind of tough guy that you just, when he says something, you're paying attention. And then when it gets emotional like that, you're going to be brought to tears, because that guy can fucking, I'm telling you, you know, the NWO made fun of him when he was retiring. But when I was a kid and he was retiring and telling that speech and, you know, the Kurt Hennig where I'm giving you my spot, I bawled like a fucking baby, dude. I did.
Arn's great. He's one of the all-time greats for a reason. And you could just see it on this tribute video that they put together with him and just how much passion he does. And he really fits into his role well with Cody Rhodes too, as kind of that manager, coach, whatever they want to call it. Like, it's awesome to see them pay the respect to Double A that they should. I was always blown away that WWE never used him more in that role. Yeah. And it's nice to see him get the respect that Arn Anderson deserves. And you could just see the classy guy that he is. And like you said, he's the guy you just sit and listen to. Yeah. And
he's the one that everybody respects in the fucking room, because he's done it all, seen it all, been everywhere. You know, he's that guy. He's like a Waylon Jennings. You just
100%, man. 100%. No doubt about it. Yep. The next match was one of my favorite matches of the night. It was a lot of fun and just a lot of different ways. You had MJF, Santana Ortiz coming out from the Inner Circle. MJF was in the Puerto Rican flag.
It was great.
And he's rocking out the bandana like one of the Pride and Powerful guys Santana Ortiz would do. Santana's got a new haircut. Ortiz doesn't look like Bozo the Clown anymore, which I think is great. And they looked really good tonight too. I'll just say that. It was a lot of fun in there with them. But they had Hangman Page, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds. Now, this John Silver guy, sometimes he rubs me the wrong way. I'm not going to nitpick anything. He rubs me the wrong way in some ways. But I got to say, he's a talented fucking kid, man.
He turned it up tonight. I haven't seen that out of him.
He was ready to go, right?
Ready to go. It was like this lit a fire under his ass or something. Like,
he was the star of probably the show in regards to wrestling and his performance tonight, in my opinion.
Oh, and his outfit was cool too. They did a replica of the Brody Lee outfit, you know. And then, my favorite part of the match, people may give me some heat for this, but my favorite part was MJF is such a dick, dude. Like even on a tribute show, he'll go out and talk shit to the guy who passed away his kid. Like, he's just, you know, MJF is just incredible.
I got no heat with it, bro. I got no heat with it whatsoever. It wasn't disrespectful in any way.
And then he let him hit him with a fucking kendo stick.
Like, yeah. the big fucking shitty heel. MJF played his character perfect. For those who didn't see, you know, there's a spot at the end of the match. They're having a real back and forth match with them. Hangman was great in there too. And I'll talk about Hangman in a second, but you have the end of the match here. MJF goes on the outside and grabs the mask that Brody Lee Jr. was wearing, Brody Lee's son. They call him Minus One once again. MJF pulls the mask on, spits on the mask, and then the crowd just fucking starts lighting him up, and everybody's lighting him up. And then the kid takes the kendo stick and bashes MJF off the head. And then Wardlow hops in the ring. You think that the Dark Order is going to get the victory here. And then Wardlow hops in the ring and stops everything. And this was another one of the best moments of the night. I knew they were going to do it. I just had a feeling, and I was glad to see they did. Wardlow's beating everybody down, get ready to end the match for the Dark Order. And then out of nowhere comes Eric Redbeard, or Eric Rowan, his partner from the Bludgeon Brothers. And he just whooped fucking Wardlow's ass, and they fought to the back. And he comes back later on at the end of the match and had a really beautiful sign. And it was, you know, a really emotional moment for him and everything. But I love that moment too. What did you think of Rowan, or Eric Redbeard, as they called him, coming in?
I'm so thankful that they decided to do that. That was the one thing that I was thinking about today at work, is I was like, I hope that they let Rowan on TV. And, you know, these guys went up and down the road together. They were in the tag teams in the Wyatt family, and then the Bludgeon Brothers, you know, then got reunited again, and just been through the good and the bad together. So it was only fitting to have him there. Me personally, where I would go, and I know this is like foreshadowing a little bit, but in my opinion, I think it would be the smartest move to bring this guy over and put him at the head of the Dark Order.
Interesting. Why would he's ready for that?
Absolutely.
I think I'll go a little. I think he's a great.
I don't think he's as talented as Brody Lee, but to tell that story would tie an emotion to it that's just. People would get behind it instantly.
I would love to see him come in and be a big part of the Dark Order and be kind of that enforcer type. I'd really like to see Hangman Page take it over, to be honest with you. He fit in great with them tonight. They have a great dynamic anyways. If you ever watched the Be in the Elite series, I feel like I watch every episode because Sonny does them every week. So I'm always doing the editing for him. So I listen to everything that goes on, and I check most of the episodes out anyways. Hangman's got a great dynamic with them anyways. They've always had a fun back and forth with him and Brody Lee and the Dark Order, and they've always kind of teased it from the beginning. There was talk that he might be the Exalted One when they were first kind of bringing that in before Brody Lee came in. A lot of people thought Hangman might be it. We had thrown that idea around a little bit too at certain points when it was happening. I think he fits great. I think Eric Redbeard, or Eric Rowan, you know, whatever people want to call him for now, I think he'd fit great in the group. I don't know if he'd fit as the leader. I think Hangman would be an interesting person to maybe bring in there. What do you think about Hangman Page maybe coming in and taking the reins?
Well, I mean, you know, you can go back to the old Wrestling with Reality episodes that we did when we talked about AEW, and we called that, you know, he was going to be involved with them or eventually be the leader of them. That was like our, before we found out who the Exalted One was, that's who we thought was going to be it, was Hangman Adam Page. So it only makes sense. You know, I understand that it would make sense if they put him at it and everything, but I just see Adam Page as a bigger star and in the main event picture. So it's hard for me to say, put him in that, because that kind of puts him in a different spot that I don't think he should be in. And I definitely don't want him to be a tag team wrestler. We saw him with Kenny Omega. No. While it was cool, I think he should be a singles competitor.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, it would be the perfect story to have Rowan do it, just because that was Brody Lee's guy, you know?
Yep.
So I don't know.
I think he's definitely got a spot in AEW now. I'll say that for sure.
Yeah. I hope they hire him. I do.
Yeah. They were great as a tag team. He doesn't get enough credit. Right. As dumb as that spider stuff was that he was doing, that wasn't him. Oh,
that was Vince McMahon all day. Yeah.
You can't blame him for that. He was doing what he could to get by with it. It was what it was. Fun match here. This was just had a lot of great moments with MJF in there, with Brody Lee Jr., with Eric Rowan coming in. And then John Silver's performance in here was phenomenal. It just was a tremendous match. It was my favorite moments of the night was right here. They then went to Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston had a really nice video, video tribute that he put out. To his friend Brody Lee, talked about a lot of nice things, but once again, talking a lot about his kids. And it was a lot of fun, you know, just to see how much he loves his children and the wonderful family man that he was. Once again, just so many people had so many nice things to say. Well, they moved on. We had our ladies match of the night. You had Anna Jay and Tay Conti. They took on Britt Baker and Penelope Ford. While this was no Matt Classic of any anything at all, it was a very sloppy match. That's the only negative thing I'm going to say about it. It still had a lot of beautiful moments, and then you could see the impact that he had on Anna Jay. I think it was great. They gave her the special moment.
Yeah, for sure.
As well, to get the victory here. And it served its purpose perfectly fine to me. I had no problem with it. Britt Baker's promo at the end, the only negative to it I got to say is I know they were pulling the big rig line off, but Jericho Jericho said it before Britt Baker could even say it in the promo.
That's what I was laughing at. Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny. He kind of ruined it for her, and it kind of fell a little bit flat there to it. And people were kind of just like, okay, whatever. I don't think they really should have given Britt Baker the mic at that point, but and Britt Baker's grown on me. Don't get me wrong, but
She hasn't grown on me. I'm sorry. She hasn't grown on me.
She's
grown. But I don't want to be nitpicky, but you know.
No, I understand. I understand. What did you think of this match? Anything you want to comment on it?
I like Tay Conti. That's about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's the most improved wrestler in there. I would agree.
Yeah, for sure.
I like Penelope Ford a lot though, too.
She's good. I think she's better as a manager. You know, I don't think, you know, she botched the blockbuster and almost broke fucking, who'd she hit the blockbuster on?
I think it was on Anna Jay.
Yeah. And
yeah, almost, Conti's not almost in there broke too much.
Fucking neck. Yeah.
Yeah. Tay Conti, they limit her a lot because she's very limited on experience, but she's getting better and better each week. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's she's fair. Getting better and better each week, but, yeah, that's, I'll kind of leave it at that there. Just go with it from there because there really wasn't too much to note there. I just thought it was a good tribute with Anna Jay and, you know, she's a young kid and she only had 6 matches before she came.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. So she's growing every week too. And hey, they're giving them
one of the reasons why she's growing was Brody Lee.
Yep. Once again, that's why you could see the impact. He was teaching her a lot of things and she'll get a lot better over time too. She's only 22 years old. It's always great to see Thunder Rosa out there too. So Thunder Rosa came out there and
we've been fans of hers for a long time.
Oh, we've loved her since the beginning, man. And still to this day, and just nothing but great things to say about Thunder Rosa. It was nice to see her out there and she's kind of continuing that feud with Britt Baker. And I don't think there's anything that Britt Baker can do to Thunder Rosa when they have a match. Yeah. I think that's not going to work out too well for her there. Well, then they announced next week, Snoop Dogg's going to be there.
God.
Yeah, please.
He already ruined the fucking Mike Tyson fight for me. Like, I don't need my AEW Dynamite ruined.
Well, he's going to be here the next week or two, at least the next week, maybe 2 weeks, I think. He might have done the whole New Year's Smash thing with him. So I think
if he calls anybody uncle or nephew, I swear to God, I'm turning it off.
I think it might happen, man. I really do.
He was calling Roy Jones Jr. He's going, get him, Uncle Roy, get him. And I was just like, what the fuck is this shit?
You know, some people actually put his commentary over.
Ugh. I can't stand that man. Yeah, I mean, his voice bugs the shit out of me. I don't know what AEW is doing with that.
Well, they're trying to get the little bit of star power. It is what it is, I guess. We'll see how it goes. I think you might be turning it off, though, if he says uncle or any of that stuff on there. I think it's going to happen.
Is he owned by Snoop Lion or Snoop Dogg? Or
they said Snoop Dogg on the show.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going
by Snoop Dogg. WWE's pissed at him.
I don't, maybe, who knows?
No, there's news articles everywhere about it. They're pissed at him.
Well,
because they just did that collaboration with the Undertaker merchandise and all this different shit. And then he goes over to AEW.
Well, I think they're going to have to get over it because he's kind of a guy that does his own thing anyways and makes a shit ton of money at doing it. So he can kind of go wherever he wants.
That's fair.
I don't think it affects him in any way, shape or form. I think he's making his money and then some, but I guess next week, maybe the next 2 weeks, he's going to be there. They also announced Jericho's going to be on commentary again, which I think Jericho's pretty funny on commentary most of the time. Yeah. You know, he's pretty good out there, and I always enjoy it. They also announced that the matches are going to be Kenny Omega taking on Rey Fénix for the AEW title. That should be a really fun match. Jon Moxley's coming back. Shida's taking on Abaddon for the AEW women's title. The Young Bucks versus SCU. versus the Acclaimed and TH2, and Jake Hager versus Wardlow, which I think would be a fun match. And
we were talking about that. We were hoping for it.
Yep, they're going to give it. I think it's going to be fun, and it's going to be fun to see those two guys at. I think they could maybe steal the show and have a really great match. And then
sure.
Cody's going to take on Matt Sydal, which I think is going to be a fun match to see. So
Matt Sydal, he botches a lot, man.
He does, but he's got some pretty good matches. I think they'll have some good chemistry. I hope so. Yeah, I hope so too. I think it'll be a surprising match. I think they'll have a good one. I think they'll pull it out pretty well there. I'm going to be optimistic. That's why I'm going to look at everything, you know, and just say, I think I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think they'll have a good one. So they had a nice video of Jericho talking about his history with Brody Lee. Jericho's always a really classy guy on those things, and nothing but love for Chris Jericho. Like, he's been doing this forever, and he's a really passionate guy about the business. My wife doesn't follow his music, so I was explaining to her a little bit about all the things that a guy like Chris Jericho does. And she's listened to a couple of the Fozzy songs tonight, actually. And she's like, wow, he's pretty good. And I said, yeah,
he is good.
Chris Jericho is a talented guy, folks. And if people don't like him or whatever it is, I don't know what to say for you. Cause as a wrestling fan, this guy's
hate all the fucking body shaming people are doing to him. I'm like, dude, he could probably whoop your ass. First of all, outrun you. Like, what, how are you talking shit about him? He's got abs. Like, what the?
He's 50 years old.
He tore his pec, so the center of his chest is rough. I mean, but what the fuck? You know, the guy is on top of his fucking game.
But did you see how he does it the right way back, Richie? He fucked with some right back and started clowning him.
Sure.
I gotta love it and respect it. And he's laughing it all the way to the bank because this guy's making money hand over fist.
Well, and the key thing for AEW with having Chris Jericho is he's been through so many of these fucking losses that he can help kind of steer the ship a little bit through the grieving process and kind of help these guys get through it, because he's been through it how many fucking times? Owen Hart, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, all these different people. So, you know, it's a good thing that they have him through that.
He's been there and done just about everything that you could possibly imagine in this business. Chris Jericho is one of the all-time greats. And, you know, if people are new to wrestling, go back and see the body of work that Chris Jericho does. And we see it every week. Still doing. It's crazy to think we're on the WCW stuff and getting back into it. Here we are every week watching a young Chris Jericho on Nitro taking on just everybody and anybody you can imagine in the ring. And just to see that he's still doing it today, you got to love Chris Jericho. Just nothing.
And he does it five different fucking ways. Yeah. Like, you know, he had the Lionheart, and then you had Y2J, and then you got, you know, the Codebreaker Jericho. And then it's just, the guy knows how to reinvent himself. He
reinvents himself, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. No doubt about it. The main event was next. I thought it was a really fun match for the most part. I love the ending to it. I thought it was really good. You had Cody Rhodes, Orange Cassidy, and 10 from the Dark Order. And they took on Team Taz, which was Brian Cage, Ricky Starks, and powerhouse Will Hobbs. I thought it was a good match. I thought it was, you know, pretty fun for the most part. They had some really good moments in it. We don't really know a ton about 10 because they've never really seen his character. But as we talked about earlier, you could see, you know, the special relationship that he had with Brody Lee and his family and just how much love that he had for him. I thought it was a good match, Richie, for the most part. I think everybody played their parts really well. I really liked the ending. I thought it was another classy move once again to give one of the Dark Order members the victory as they got in every match.
Yeah.
And 10 won with Arn Anderson's spine buster, which I thought was really cool. They all hit their finishers on Ricky Starks. And
he also hit Brody Lee's finisher too, the powerbomb, did you?
Yep. He hit it at one point in the match, and they all did. It was really fun. And yet even had Arn Anderson and Taz get into it on the outside and kind of tease them going at it, which I thought was really fun. And then the end of the match, once the Dark Order member 10 and Cody and Orange Cassidy get the victory, you had Team Taz come in, including Taz's son Hook, and they ended up attacking everybody after the match. And then the lights went out, and then Darby Allin appeared, and he started to kind of come down from the rafters to help him. And then the lights went out again, and then Sting came out, and Sting and Darby Allin came out together and ended up running off Team Taz. And that was kind of how they ended the show from the wrestling side of it. I like this. I love the ending. I thought it was fun. What did you think, Richie?
So this match was great from start to finish. And you know, say what people can say what they will about Cody Rhodes, you know, hogging the spotlight and all this different shit. He really gave the spotlight to Ten tonight to kind of, to kind of pay tribute to Brody and show, kind of help this kid get a main event spot for the first time and get him some exposure and hopefully it creates something good for him, gives him some, you know, some steam on it. So, it was an incredible match. And then afterwards you got Darby Allin with Sting. You know, Sting's the mentor now. They're the mentor vigilante. And I love the story they're telling. The only thing that's irritating me each week is, like, give me the physical part of Sting. I want to see if he's healthy enough to go. You know, after that spot with Seth Rollins, nobody is sure the health or the condition of him. So I want to see if he can go from his neck injury and be healthy and be good and move around in the ring like Sting does. Whoop people's ass with that bat and dropping people with scorpion death drops. We haven't seen any of that since he got hurt. So it kind of concerns me. They're doing all these plans with him wrestling, and I just don't want to see a Kurt Angle situation happen where he can't keep up to it. And then it's a big letdown for everybody. So yep. I'd rather him get it out of the way, see if he can do it now on TV and still go, and then kind of progress further into it.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to do some type of like a 8-man tag match. It looks like between Team Taz versus, you know, Sting, and it looks like Darby Allin, Cody Rhodes. And it looks like they're going to incorporate Orange Cassidy, I think, probably into that now. I don't think Ten's going to get incorporated into it after tonight. I think it was a one time shot. But, you know, I think that's kind of the way they're going to go with it for now. And, you know, I think it's going to limit Sting in his first match back just to kind of like do what you said. You know, let's see what he's got in him. Let him take limited bumps, work the right moments, do a couple of things here and there, and kind of leave people with a little bit of a tease what they might be able to do with Sting, because who really does know what he can do after that buckle bump that almost ended his career or did end his career technically.
Did end his career. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, did end his career. And not many people thought he could ever get back in. And there was people saying if he took the wrong bump ever again, that he'd be paralyzed or he could get killed.
Well, he couldn't pass the physical.
Yeah. So the only way they were going to be able to do it was a cinematic match over in WWE. Right. So I don't know. Let's see what they're going to do with it. It's going
to
be
excited. All right. Okay. So are you excited to see more of a storyline between Sting and Cody Rhodes or Sting and Darby Allin?
Sting and Darby Allin.
Yeah. All the way. Right. Yeah. I want Darby Allin to be the heel too.
I do too. It's the only logical way to make Darby a big star out of this, in my opinion. Have Darby go heel on him, have Sting help him out, do the stuff we've been talking about the last few review shows that we've been doing here, and eventually have Darby.
They've been teasing it, right? They've been teasing it. Like every time that he feuds with Cody and stuff, he turns into an asshole and shoves Cody after he's trying to respect him. Like let it fucking loose, man. It's the perfect time for it.
It is. He's a young kid. There's going to be times in his career he's going to go heel and face. It happens to just about everybody. Look at the best work, and let's use WWE as an example right now because there's not much good to comment on over there. Some of the best work that's being done every week is Roman Reigns as a heel, and as everybody talked about for years, let Roman Reigns roll with it. And he's doing some of the best work as a heel. They got to learn how to play both roles. He's young. It's the right move to do because Sting is a legend and an icon. You're never going to make Sting the heel out of this in any way, shape, or form. It's not going to happen.
I would even go further. And if you want to tie into Sting's history, have Darby Allin do the Joker gimmick and just lose his fucking mind. Like, I think that'd be great. Paint his face all fucking crazy and just it'd be endless what you could do with it.
There's so many great things he can do with it. I think there's some Cody Rhodes stuff later on down there potentially, but I think the money, like we both agree with, I think the money is Darby Allin and Sting. Cody doesn't need the rub at this point in his career. He's the biggest, let's be realistic. Cody's the biggest player over there. No doubt about it. And it's not because he's getting pushed to the moon and everybody else isn't. He's got a really special quality to him where he's let go since he's left. And
he looks like a fucking champion.
He does. Constantly. And
even without the belt.
Yeah, he's great. And he doesn't need the belt to be the big player over there. And if you had crowds out there, Cody would be getting the biggest reaction almost every week, week in and week out. No doubt about it.
Do you think that he's a bigger star than Moxley?
Yeah, in some ways I do. I hate to say it like that, but you know, it's not to downgrade Cody Rhodes or John Moxley and say one's worse than the other. John Moxley had a hell of a 2021, but I think he is a bigger star than him. And I think he's the bigger power player over there than Moxley is at this moment. Moxley had a hell of a run as a champ. He did a great job in that role. He's done fantastic since he's been over there. But Moxley really, really did well. And I think having the belt was a big part of that for him.
Cody, that was my favorite Brody Lee match, if I'm being honest. Is
it was great.
It was incredible.
It was great. I know you weren't a fan of the Eddie Kingston stuff. Even though the match was sloppy, I liked a little of the story that they had. I thought it was fun. I can't really think of anything Moxley did this year that was bad in any way.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Cody.
And he was plagued with injuries and stuff too.
Yeah, he's had a hell of a year. You know, Renee Young had her COVID battle as well, and he had got quarantined, you know, for safety reasons as well. I don't think he ever had it, but he had had his, you know, scare with COVID. They've really had
staff
a troubling
infection.
Yeah, really sick. You know, he's had some issues. There's no doubt about it, but he's pushed through it and had a hell of a year. Now, Cody has led the charge all year long from him. And people can't say that Cody never takes a loss to anybody because look what he did for Brody Lee, just for an example. Brody Lee killed him, just creamed him.
Mauled him.
In under 3 minutes. Cody didn't do anything to him.
Right.
And that really made Brody Lee, as we're talking about Brody tonight, it made him even into a bigger star.
Yeah. And MJF, look at him.
Yeah. I mean, he's elevating people to another level. And when we're looking at Brody Lee, a lot of people were wondering maybe why Brody Lee, you know, dropped the belt so fast. Maybe they were getting some answers. Maybe he was having some health issues that he had to drop it. You know,
we don't know.
And I'm not going
to. It's crazy to me because last week I remember us talking on the show and saying, man, where's Brody Lee? What's going on with him? You know, it was so that's why I respect because WWE, it would have been leaked. You know what I'm saying? AEW kept it under wraps and they did really good by his family for keeping their privacy. And you got to respect him for that, man, because if it were WWE, it would have got leaked in a heartbeat. Yeah. You better believe it.
Did you see with Bruce Mitchell from the Pro Wrestling Torch, that article that he wrote?
Yeah, he was trying to tie it to COVID.
Yeah, and was kind of he was kind of crapping on his family and AEW and them for not being more transparent if he had COVID and all the issues.
It's his fucking business.
Yeah. Like it's people's business. And I don't want to be negative. We'll talk about that another time. Let's hit on that on another show. I just thought that was something important to note because you know what? We were, like you said, we were talking about a few weeks on the show. We were wondering where he was because nobody knew.
Nobody knew. He was such a big part of the show, and then he just fell off the map there.
And it was none of anybody's business because he was going through some serious medical conditions with his family, and they were probably trying to prepare, you know, for the worst situation that they knew that would probably happen. Or they were scared and going through it together. And, you know, that's wrestling. That maybe answers some of the questions why the TNT title run came off him so fast. Who knows? Maybe that wasn't it. Maybe he had other injuries. But
remember, they tape these shows in advance, so you don't really know when he was sick or when, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for some of them, they do.
Yeah.
They don't always do them. Not every week is live, so that's a very good point to it, too. All in all, Richie, I got to say, I thought the show was great. It was beautiful at the end where they came out with his family and gave the belt to his son. And there was something interesting to note afterwards that I think maybe some people are getting confused about on the internet. And me and you were talking about it off air. But, you know, something with the TNT title, some people thought they retired it, but I want you to take that part.
Yeah. So basically what I'm reading and what I'm seeing and hearing is a lot of people are getting confused and thinking that they retired the belt, that they're going to take it off TV and not have any more TNT champions. My understanding is what they're doing is they're retiring that design belt, kind of like a retirement jersey for a football player, or a basketball player. That belt is going to be the symbol of Brody Lee. Basically, they're looking at him as one of the first and best TNT title holders of all time. So they're retiring the belt. The championship is still going to exist. They're going to make another design, and Darby Allin is still the TNT title holder. Yeah. So, I mean, I hope that clears up a little bit because I'm seeing a bunch of mixed stuff on forums and things like that. But from what I hear, because there's an AEW guy that works for AEW and does some of the production stuff that I know on one of the Facebook groups I'm involved in. So he kind of has the backside scoop to things. And that's what he said tonight. So.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I hope it clears it up for everybody, because I know people were talking about it.
Not afterwards. That's important. You know, what I mean, compared to the mess, not that that's important, but I just thought that'd be important to mention.
Yeah, they brought it up. The reason I mentioned it, too, is because they brought it up in the post-show press conference that they were doing afterwards. And I think people got kind of confused on it. So I think that when you were telling me a little bit more of the backstory, I think it was important to note for people if they were confused. The belt's not going away in regards to the TNT title. It's that design is going to be retired. So yeah. I think it's a classy move.
And absolutely.
What I thought was even more classy, we were also talking about this off the air, and I know people know about this, I'm sure, that have been following the unfortunate situation and the passing of Brody Lee, and that they signed his son to a legitimate contract. And I know his son's only 8 years old, but they said when he comes of age and if he chooses that he wants to go down the path of wrestling, that he already has a legally binding legit contract to go to AEW if and when he decides to go do that at that point. I think that's so cool to do, right?
I mean, you got to respect him for that, because from a business standpoint, Brody Lee only worked for the company less than a year. So that's amazing in itself that Tony Khan did that, and he's taking care of the family and just going above and beyond to make sure they're taken care of and to help make them feel better and get closure too. And it leaves the option open for this kid that he has a future. No matter what, you know, no matter what, that company is going to be with him and they'll support him no matter what. And whether that's in production or maybe wrestling or commentary or whatever, that kid's got a job. So, you know, it's really cool to see that they're taking care of him. They're elevating him and putting him on a platform right now to kind of get him through the grieving process. And I think that's one of the coolest things you can do, because a kid losing his dad that early in life that, you know, was his hero. You know, see him on TV, he's larger than life, comes home, he's your dad, and you get to tell everybody that that's your dad. And then losing that abruptly like that, I can't imagine what that kid should be going or could be going through.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It was a beautiful show tonight, and just 100% class from AEW. They really did just one hell of a job tonight, in my opinion. That's my closing thoughts on it. Just love the show. It really made me feel good, you know, as a wrestling fan, to watch a quality, fun show like that. And for people, you know, that watch wrestling every week, that care about the characters and the people.
Yeah. You get attached to them like your own family, man. And it was cool to hear John Moxley say, you know, it's made John Moxley realize that the wrestling community is more than just a community. It's a family. And we all go through these things, and this is another one of those times that we're going through that. And it was cool that he recognized that as a talent, you know, that the fans are part of it, the company's part of it, the wrestlers are part of it. It's a big family, and wrestling's got us all through so many hard times. And, you know, this is something we all love and come together. And for those 2 hours each week, or 4 hours if you watch both, are just where we're free. And so when you see somebody like this that you get attached to pass away, it's a hard, you almost grieve too. You know what I mean? So it's tough, man. And I can't imagine what the family's going through.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I pray for them and anybody that was affected, you know. And it's an important lesson for us all, because we all get caught up in the grind of life. And you know what? We all get caught up in stupidity in life sometimes. We're all guilty of it at some point. You know, people rub us the wrong way. People agitate us. People get our go. People do things that, you know, just upset us and anger us. It's so trivial and bullshit in life. And
yeah,
this is an important moment. I mean, I know you've seen it in many things, and so have I. And we've all been guilty of stupidity in life. And it shouldn't take a passing for us all to realize that life is more, is such a precious gift that we all get. Yep. And it's such a precious thing. And you know what? At the end of the day, we're all people, we're all human beings, and we all have people that we love or that love us. And this guy had a lot of people that loved him, meaning Brody Lee, and it showed tonight. And life is a real precious gift, folks, that can be taken away as quick as we come into this world, is as quick as we can go out. And it sucks and it's unfortunate, but don't take life for granted. and live each day to the best, you know, to your best, and try to be the best people we can be. We all fall short of it sometimes, myself included. I fall short many times. And it's an important lesson for us all to realize in life that we just need to be the best we can, and stupidity and stupid things in life and things that are getting to us in life or things that bother us. Let's put it into perspective that is it really that important all the time?
Right.
Let's just do the best we can to love each other. 2020 is leaving right now. It's been a tough year for people. It sucked. Mm-hmm. We've lost people we've loved. We battled through illnesses. We battled through our own demons and our own things in our lives, whatever it might be for each and every one of us. Let's go into 2021 with a better outlook, and let's all try to be better people and be better to one another. And that's how we're going to make 2021 a better year, and 2022 and 2023 and all the other years that will hopefully follow us for many to come. So just remember, life is really precious. That's my final words. Anything you want to say to take us out, Richie?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, if this goes to show you anything, it should show you that living and being a positive light on this earth is all that matters, because at the end of the day, that guy's reputation, you look at everybody in that, on that show and in that locker room and stuff, they all respect this man, and he has a great name and great legacy that he's leaving behind for his kids. That's the way I want to go out. You know what I mean? I want to go out with good words about me and people saying good things about me, being respectful and a good person and caring and all those different things. Don't be one of the ones that are contributing the hate and the darkness in this earth. Be one of the ones that shines that light. And that's the biggest lesson you can really take from this, is be a Brody Lee, man. Be a Brody Lee, a leader and a good father, and, you know, lead a good life. And that's what he did.
Amen, brother. Great words. Hope everybody listens to them, and hopefully we listen to them and all think about that too, because it's easy to get trapped into the negativity and stuff. And like you said, let's leave a good influence in life, and let's try to be better people, and let's all try to sit over there as a society and treat each other better. And like you said, take the lesson that a guy like Brody Lee gave and showed people the ropes in the right way and led by example. And let's all try to be those people that lead by example too. Will we fall short at times? Absolutely. But let's not try to keep maintaining that and keep trying to fall short. Let's try to do the best that we can and just be the best we can be. I think it's a great show tonight. I think hopefully we did the Brody Lee's memory right in a way by talking about it tonight. And I know his memory is going to live on forever. And God bless his family, his friends, those that are affected by it, members of the wrestling community, and all those people that were definitely impacted by his life. And let his memory go on and do what it's going to do, and that's do a lot of positive things for people. You're not going to forget his name anytime soon. And we lose people in life that we love, but it doesn't mean that they've left us or they've left this earth. They might have left it physically, but their spirit will always still be here. And I think Brody Lee's spirit's going to live on for a long time and for many, many, many years to come, and through his family, and it's going to keep pressing on. So hopefully everybody is doing good out there. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show tonight. We hope we did Brody Lee right, you know, and did a best tribute as we could do as fans, because that's what we are. We're fans of wrestling, and we like doing this stuff. And I thank AEW and Tony Khan, and I thank Brody Lee for the contributions that he made and for his family. I just once again, just send prayers and love, and, you know, hopefully they can move on with their life as best they can in the near future. And just, it just sucks, you know, to see it. That's all I can say. And great show tonight, Rich. It was a pleasure to do it with you. And we'll be back next week. We'll cover some New Year's Smash, and we'll keep talking some fun wrestling. And pleasure to do it with you tonight, my friend. And hopefully everybody's out there doing well. And hopefully you guys have a great New Year's. We'll have more shows for you this weekend, so check them out. We'll see you on the flip side. Thanks for listening. As I always like to close out with, be good to yourselves. Most importantly, be good to one another. Happy 2021. We'll see you in the next couple of days. And God bless Brody Lee and his family and all those impacted by the loss of this great man.